And what do you think of when you think of the term all in? You know, you think of a poker game where you push all your chips in, or do you think of your Christian life where you decide that I'm going to walk by Christ, I'm going to walk by faith every single day? The term all in refers to being totally committed. And we have examples of people in the Bible who were all in, don't we? We got, you think of the Apostle Paul and the ultimate example, the Lord Jesus Christ. Though he was, I mean, he went to the cross and he gave his life for our sins. And we think of a lot of people that weren't very committed, the people that were on the fence all the time. You think of some of the disciples that were in and out. They weren't totally committed. And if you think of being committed, why is that so important in a local church? You know, is God looking for faithful people? Faithful, available, teachable people? You know, our testimony in that faithfulness reflects our heart condition, just what we're thinking, what condition our heart is in. And our memory verse, as we're going to dig into it here, has three commands and then a reward for that obedience. A little background here. Proverbs, you know, was written by Solomon, the son of David. You can read a lot more about Solomon in 1 Kings. He was a very wise man, wisdom given to him by God. God asked him what he would want with anything in the world, and he asked for wisdom. What a smart man. And he was also given great wealth and great knowledge in infrastructure. He built a ship fleet. Solomon spoke some 3,000 proverbs, and he wrote some 105,000 songs. The proverb word is made up of two Latin words, pro, which means instead of, and verba, which words. A proverb is a short statement that has a whole bunch of wisdom in a principle. It's a short, catchy phrase that, so it's easy to remember because it can be condensed into a smaller space. You know, Family Fellowship Night, we've been doing this for a while now, and it's a wonderful time for saints to gather together to share some thankfulness in your heart that you have, things that prayers have been answered, and these memory verses each month that the pastor picks out. You know, they're designed to impact our thinking, to make us think about things principally, and hopefully store them in our mind and keep these principles throughout our walk in life, arming us for the fight that we have every single day, don't we, in this world. We got the old shit-faced devil firing darts at us all the time, and these verses are designed to make us think and put these principles in our heart and remind us of God's love and mercy for us. This month's memory verse, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, is one that I learned many, many years ago when I was a kid, and I know it's one of the verses that just stick with you. It's got a rhyme to it. It sticks with you. I used to see it on Highway 53 up by Cotton all the time, and people see it, and you wonder if people really know what the verse means, what in the text that is written, what the verse means. So we, over in chapter 3, well, one more, the little outline, Proverbs chapter 1, we've had the last 2 months have been memory verses in Proverbs. We had Proverbs chapter 4 last month, and then the month before we had Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 7. So Proverbs 1 verses 1 through 7 are the purpose of that, of the Proverbs, the wisdom's foundations in verse 8 through 19, and wisdom's warning, chapter 1, verses 20 through 33. Chapter 2 talks about wisdom protecting our path. Protecting our path. And chapter 3 talks about wisdom directing our path. So, chapter 3, verse 1. My son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands. For the length of your days and long life and peace will be added to you. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. And so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. Verse 1 through 3 teach us that these are profitable character traits in life. They're wisdom about life. They're things that we want to characteristics that you want to own as a believer in Christ. Verse 4 talks about our testimony. We want favor. We all want favor from man, but mostly from God, don't we? And these quality traits, when you own these quality traits, and they are part of your testimony, you have high esteem in the sight of man and God. But God first. So on to our memory verse. Trust in the Lord, verse 5, with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding, and all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. Trust in the Lord. We placed our trust in Jesus Christ, His finished work on the cross. The same trust that we placed on Christ for everlasting life, we can now walk every single day with that same trust, can't we? You know, faith is only as good as the object that we put that trust in, isn't it? You know, and God has proven us time and time again that His trustworthiness is a whole lot more than just mere trust. God is some of God's attributes on your handout there. God is all-knowing from beginning to end. We've learned this many times. God is power over all things in life. And God's love for us is unlimited. It's totally unlimited. So the object for our faith to get through this Christian life, to walk down this path, is based on God and His values and His trustworthiness. Colossians 2, 6, and 7 say, "And you therefore have received Jesus Christ the Lord. You trusted Christ your Savior, so walk with Him, rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith." How do we get established in the faith? By being in the Word and being part of a local body of believers that are doctrinally sound, that teach sound doctrine, which you have been taught, abounding always in thanksgiving. You know, we can walk with Him, daily responding to our Heavenly Father and the love He's shown us, seeing His hand in our lives and learning more and more about Him every single day and strengthening our faith. As we learn more about Him and His character, our faith becomes stronger and stronger, doesn't it? Because we can see what He can do in our life. In our memory verse now, trust in the Lord with all your heart. That's an imperative command in the active voice. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. You notice the all word there. All your heart. You know, it's not just part of your heart and part of your being. It's the center of everything. It's your whole being. All your heart. And this is referring to the thought process of being all in. You know, we can trust Him partially and not with all our heart, half-heartedly. And then when things get tough during life, what happens? Things fall apart, don't they? This is talking about our path of life. When we trust the Lord with all our heart, we take these precepts, we take the wisdom of God, we place them in our heart, we place them in our mind, and we remember them, and we live a Christian life based on those values. And that arms us to not fall in these pitfalls that come along in our life, because they do come along. Isaiah 26, 3 and 4 says, "You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for in Yah the Lord is everlasting strength." You want to be kept in perfect peace? Keep your mind on the Lord. The next part of our verse, "And lean not unto your own understanding." Now that first thing that comes to my mind is right away that it's implying that we think that we can control our path and we know what we're doing. And we all do, don't we? Every single one of us at some point in our life thinks that we got this under control. We don't need any help. We think we got it all figured out. We got this road of life. We got choices and decisions and we're self-efficient. We think we got it all figured out. But do we? Do we? What is this proverb saying? And lean not unto your own understanding. Proverbs 14:12 says, "There's a way that seems right to a man, but the end of it is death." The end of it's death. So we need something more than what we can produce, what we can think. We need the Holy Spirit working in our life, don't we? Number 2 in your handout, we need to check in with our Heavenly Father continually. Check in with our Heavenly Father continually. The next part of our verse is, in all your ways acknowledge him. Again, there it is, in all your ways. Not just part of your ways, in all your ways. Acknowledge him. The word acknowledge here means is to know upon some mark, that is to recognize by implication, to become fully acquainted, to acknowledge, to know and perceive. In all our ways acknowledge him. Not just part of our ways, not just part of our life, not just certain areas of our life, but he's talking about all our life, acknowledge him. And he shall direct your path. You know, there's times in life that we get into a really uncomfortable spot, or times in our life when things really, really good happen. And do you mentally acknowledge God just at that time and thank him for something good happened in your life, or asking, you know, why is this bad thing happen in my life? Or do you acknowledge him in the good and the bad, in everything? And here we're instructed, are all in everything to acknowledge him. So this requires getting to know your Heavenly Father and depending on him and getting to know him more. Isaiah 55:8 says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are my ways your ways. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. God's ways are not naturally ours, are they? His thoughts are beyond our comprehension. Second Peter 3:18 is a good verse. We study this often. Look at this. But grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord and Savior. To him be the glory both now and forever. The only way you grow in the grace and knowledge of your Savior is be connected. You have to have that umbilical cord connected. You have to be walking by faith in this Christian life. And we get back to, in all our ways, acknowledge him. You know, our ways we're talking about here are everything that we do in life. Our daily activities, our work, our play, our relationships. You know, think about that. Our children, our spouses, our bosses. You know, God gives us the wisdom and the Word of God to deal with every single one of these situations. The roadmap's there in front of us, but yet there's times in life where we just don't know what to do. But that's when you pray, you ask for wisdom, and you study the Word of God. You know, this is accomplished by abiding in Christ, like we talked about before. That's taking that quiet time, that song we sung tonight, that quiet time alone with Christ, that taking that time and praying to him and asking him to reveal his will in your life and his perfect plan, to reveal that perfect plan. I mean, we got people from all different spectrums, the young kids, you know, and older people. Not you, Steve, I wasn't pointing at you. But, I mean, every one of us at different points in our life that need different kind of direction and different kind of answers, you know. And the opposite of looking to God for these answers is what? We can decide that we can plan out this own path ourselves and look to real theology and look through our fleshly glasses and see just what's out there and what's available for us. But remember, we already know what the results of that would be. This attitude and mindset is possible to be walking by faith, by the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit working in us. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 18 through 20. And do not be drunk with wine, but the opposite, which is dispensation, but the opposite, be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual song, singing and making melody in your heart. How often do you go through the day singing and being thankful to the Lord, singing a song, a hymnal that you heard, or just praising God for whatever situation you're in, whether you're in a hole digging footings out or you're in the woods cutting up firewood. Verse 20, giving thanks always for all things to God, the Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. This attitude of thankfulness is a byproduct of walking by faith. You know, we can be self-deceived. We can be deceived into thinking that we're something when we're not. We can be self-sufficient, self-reliant. We can go down a road of our choice, but we got to always remember where we come from and what God wants us for us and what the path that we should be on, because This is also a forgiving God, a God that always wants us to come back and get back on the road, get back on this path of life that I have planned for you. You know, we talk about paths and we talk about the Lord's ability to control different directions. Proverbs 21:1-2 said, "The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord, like the water to the river. He turns it wherever he wishes." He turns it wherever he wishes. There's nothing he can do whatever he wants in that situation. Every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the hearts. The Lord looking at our heart constantly. Galatians 6:3 says, "If anyone thinks he is to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself." We can become so quickly and easily deceived when things go good for us and think that we're successful and we're something when we're totally deceived. Psalms 119:05, a terrific verse that talks about the Word of God. "The Word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." The wisdom, the roadmap, lies in the Word of God. You know, the greatest hindrance to all true wisdom. You think about that. All true wisdom. You know, the greatest hindrance is you and me. You and me. So humility is the first key to wisdom. The path we choose is volitional, but the wisdom for direction is available from God. You know, I think about this often, you know, roads and the will of God, and I think of Scott and Beth and the path they took to Alaska, and even Pastor and Jill when they left Duluth, and the path they took to come to Grand Rapids, and I think of my life and my children's life, and you know, life is full of choices. It's totally volitional, but you're going to pay a price for decisions that are made wrongly, because they leave an everlasting effect. Sin leaves a mark on our life, and so the wisdom from the Word of God can direct us in a path that we do. We can make the proper choices. We can make the right choices from a young age all the way through our life. Because if everybody knows the story about Solomon, Solomon didn't finish his life very well. Not well at all. That's another study, but he got wrapped up into, he had 700 wives and 300 concubines, and the first thing I thought of was, holy smokes, talk about trouble. He got into serving pagan gods, and he got into a lot of mess, and God became very displeased with him. But we can finish strong. We can have a straight path. Your life look like this. The road to Hana or Highway 38. Or is your life look more like this? You know, this road is really smooth. You know, God never promises a smooth road without trials and bumps and potholes in it, but God does promise us that He will drive and He'll get us to wherever we're going if we allow Him to. So what is the recipe for a straight path? The verse, "And He shall direct your paths," that virtually means straight paths. He shall direct your paths. So what's the recipe? And we need to start by understanding these principles that we've been taught to us through the Word of God and trusting the Lord and a willingness to obey His will in our life. His will is the world tells us, follow this path, this worldly pleasure. Make all the money you can, run over everyone you need to run over, do anything you want in life, and it's all about a feel-good situation. It's all about mine, me. But the Word of God says this. Jeremiah 9:23-24, one of our memory verses from last year. "Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, nor let the mighty man glory in his might, nor let the rich man glory in his riches. But let him who glories glory in this, that he understand and knows me, that I am the Lord, exercising loving kindness, judgment and righteousness in the earth. For in these I delight, saith the Lord." This is where His delight is at. You want to please the Lord? You want to walk in His will? Take these principles to the bank. Proverbs 3:5-6. "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths." Let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, just thankful for this time we could gather together and study your word. And we're so thankful for the wisdom that you give us throughout the Bible. We're thankful for Jesus Christ and our willingness to trust Christ as our personal Savior. But Lord, we just pray that we realize that we live that Galatians 2:20 life. We realize we've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer we who live, but you live in us. And this life we should now live in the flesh, and we live for you. And we just pray that we would not stumble. And if we do stumble, Lord, we are so thankful that you are there waiting for us and you're ready to get us back on the straight path. And we realize that life can be a struggle for different people in different situations, Lord, but we always remember that you are there for us, and we know we can cast our burdens and cares upon you, and you love us no matter what in any situation. We are thankful for this time. We're thankful for the believers here at IBC. We pray for safety at camp starting tomorrow, and we just, again, thankful for Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen.